You are tuned into Business Sense on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
They say that property is a long game. And if that's true, Percy Singo is one of the few playing it with strategy, patience, and power. He is not just an investor. What he is a teacher, a thinker, and a steady hand in a market that often feels overwhelming for first-timers. When Percy speaks, you don't just hear theories. You hear the voice of lived experience, the wins, the mistakes, the slow climbs, and the steady gains. Whether you're dreaming of your first investment property, trying to figure out where to begin, or wondering if property is even for you, tonight's conversation is going to meet you exactly where you are. Percy knows how to break it down, or to break down the big words and give you the small, deliberate steps. No fluff, no hype, just practical wisdom from someone who walks the path and continues to build with clarity and with purpose. So if you've ever said, hey, I want to invest in property now, but I don't know where to start, then this one is for you. Percy, hello again. Hey, Percy.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I am good, thank you.
Percy, let's start here. You are on this path, right? You walk it, you live it, you teach it, and all of those things. You don't just talk about it. So in your own words, what makes property such a compelling vehicle for wealth building?
Oh, yes. If I can say, I feel like property is the best investment because there's a lot of investment out there.
Yeah.
Which most of them is those investment which you get promised a lot of things to say the returns will be like this.
Yeah.
And then you can end up losing your hard-earned money.
Mm-hmm.
So property, I feel like it's safe because it's a structure that is standing there. Mm-hmm. And then you don't move around with it in terms of you don't go anywhere with your property. So yeah. It's a safe investment, which is stationary, which makes it to be one of the best investments.
Yeah. Percy, is there a mindset or maybe financial foundations we must have before we even take the first step towards property investing?
Oh, yes, it's good to have that mindset or to have those lessons, because when we talk about property, you'll be managing a lot of money.
Mm.
And then again, you want to be accountable with your money. If you have tenants in your properties,
yeah.
You want to be accountable to say the money that I received, this is where it went.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very important to have that background. And again, when you start, it's very difficult to get funding.
Mm.
So you can use your savings as a way to start the journey.
Yeah. And the foundation you speak of, because you said very emphatically, yes, you need to have that foundation. What does it look like? What are for somebody who doesn't know how, right? For somebody who hasn't had possibly the exposure, but is still interested in this because people are talking about it. What is that financial foundation of which you speak?
Oh, yes. When we talk about foundation, sometimes, unfortunately, the foundation that we can talk about has been dug by your parents.
Oh, okay.
Because you don't only learn from what they say, you learn from what they're doing.
Mm.
So if you grow up in a family where they which finances, you might as well.
Oh, Percy, your line is breaking.
Please.
Your line is breaking, Percy.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I was saying sometimes if you grew up in a place where the parents are struggling to manage their finances.
Mm.
Okay, can you hear me?
We can hear you, Percy. Go ahead.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, I was saying if you grew up in a family where the parents are struggling to manage their finances. Mm. You can as well just start from there, and then you don't have the proper information about finances,
yeah,
which you can end up making a lot of mistakes.
Mm.
So it's very important that as parents,
yeah,
we teach our kids about finance from a younger age.
Yeah.
And then again, we can blame each other to say it should be a school system that teaches people about finance.
Mm.
And somebody can say it should be a church. But I feel like it's a responsibility of everyone. The church has to play its part of teaching people about finance.
Mm.
The families have to play that part as well.
Yeah.
And then even the school system, they have to introduce such kind of things. And it's good because these days, most universities, they are having those programs, because us as speakers of finance, we are also getting invites from universities to come and speak about finance, which is a good foundation.
Absolutely lovely. I wish I had that just before graduating. I would have probably bought a house before buying a car. But yeah, that's done. What's done is done. But for some people who possibly have made mistakes and want to start over, maybe those who haven't done anything yet but really would like to get things right, let's take us back to the ABCs. If somebody's hearing this and say, okay, I do want in, but I really don't want to make the mistake, what are the literal first steps? What is step one, step two, and maybe step three? Just three steps that people need to think about and take in order to get into property investment. What would you say those are?
Okay. The first thing is that when you graduate, after you just graduate, you have to know that you owe no one a fancy lifestyle. So you need to focus on your goals. To
Boo.
Say, if I want to go into property investment,
yeah,
there's going to be some sacrifices that I will need to go through.
Mm.
And sometimes a sacrifice can just be to drive a smaller car while you have graduated and you are working.
Yeah.
And then you decide to say, I'm not going to live an extreme life until I'm able to invest on something which will make returns. And those returns, I will use them to enjoy life.
Mm.
So those are some of the things that we should put in our mind to say, I need to sacrifice.
Yeah.
And to sacrifice is not to abuse yourself. It's to invest into your future.
Mm.
To say, I'm not going to look like I'm rich before I am rich.
Mm.
I'm going to live a humble life. And then I ensure that I save as much as I can so that I can invest into something that makes money. Because if you look at your salary today, and then you end up committing in things early, before you invest, your salary will always lose strength.
Yeah.
It's like the more you are growing, the more you are having a lot of expenses.
This is true.
So it's not good just to manage your salary. You need to grow your salary. And one of the ways of growing your salary is to invest in property.
Also, time value of money, right?
Yes. And also looking at that. So it's very important for us to invest as early as possible, so that in the later stages you are enjoying the returns of your investments, and then you have grown your income in such a way that you are not only relying on your salary. Now you have got different streams of income that are helping you to manage life, because I mean, life as it is, it's very expensive, and as a man, there's a lot of responsibility that you need to take care of.
Yeah.
And sometimes when people need things from you, it's not that they are being a burden to you. It's just that it's your responsibility as a man to provide. But it becomes easier to provide when you've got different streams of income.
So true. Percy, you just spoke to somebody who's fresh out of varsity, starting their new job. I'm thinking about somebody who is middle-aged, is earning perhaps 30,000 rand. Yes, has got financial burdens, kids and school and all of that. But they realize that they need to do something. Maybe not for them right now, because when I started, I mentioned property being a long game, right? But they do want to set their kids up right and maybe even make a little bit of income where possible through property. What does such a person do with responsibilities, earning about 30K, middle age? What can that person start doing today?
I think the first thing will be to track your finances.
Okay.
Because you have to know where your money is going.
Mm.
Then after tracking your finances, if you realize that there's something that is wasting my money,
mm.
then you have to consider things like downgrading.
Okay.
Which downgrading, a lot of people, they don't want to downgrade because when you downgrade, there will be a lot of people who are wondering, why don't you have what you used to have before? Mm. It's like there's a lot of pressure when it comes to downgrading.
It's embarrassing.
But it's very wise when you realize that I'm not able to handle my things properly to decide to say I'm going to downgrade.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of people. I remember one of my manager in the past, he was driving a very expensive car. Mm. And then he used to ask me to say, how are you able to keep on buying houses?
Mm.
And then I was telling him that we started to talk a lot about finances. And then he decided by himself to go and sell the expensive car and buy a cheaper car. Then that was when he was able to afford his first house.
Okay.
So there's nothing wrong with downgrading. Actually, it's being wise to realize that something is not working and is going to collapse.
Yeah.
Then you decide to come out from that.
Mm. Percy, what's the minimum amount somebody needs perhaps to get started?
When we talk about property does need money,
okay.
But there are ways in which you can invest in property without even having a property.
Yeah.
For example, you can rent to rent, like you are renting somebody's property.
Is that allowed?
Yes, it's allowed.
Percy, I'm living in someone's house renting, and then I'm like, hey, Mganwam, rent this house.
So those are the ways you can start the property journey.
Percy,
yes.
You are going to get people arrested. Percy, I sign a lease with a landlord, and then I rent out that house that I signed the lease for.
Yes,
it's one of
the property strategies, rent to rent. So you can also decide, you can even, let's say you rent it out just to use it as Airbnb. You understand? You are renting out a house and then you are using it as Airbnb.
Okay.
So as long as the owner of the property allows you to do it, there's nothing wrong.
Legally, it's all above board.
Yes.
Okay.
And then so when you look at that again, those are some of the ways you can venture into property. But obviously your payslip also carries a lot of power.
Ish.
Because sometimes you might not have enough money to go and buy a property. But with your payslip, you can buy a property.
Mm.
And then another strategy again is those strategy where you are having a place where it's a 3-bedroom and then you decide to rent out one of the bedrooms.
Ish.
So it's just those ones when you are starting, because you don't have money at that moment to just do a project by yourself.
Mm.
And then you grow from there by managing whatever you are receiving from there, and then you reinvest it. One of the mistakes that people do is that when you just invested in one thing, you want to start enjoying the returns before you reinvest.
Yes.
So it's just those things that you need to look at.
Yeah. Mm. Percy, I know some people, and by some people I'm talking about myself, but don't tell people. So some people, Percy, get into the property game thinking I'm going to rent out my house, right?
Yes.
Yeah, they see this house being built. Oh, and they fall in love. And they say, actually, I'm going to live in the house. And then later remember, Ethan, actually, this house was for renting. Can you talk to us about the wisdom or perhaps the folly of buying a house to live in versus buying a home as an investment? Do we need to do one before the other or does it depend?
Yes, yes. When you are buying a house for investment, they always say, you must put away emotions. Yes. You must not go to it with emotions.
Where were you 2 years ago, Percy?
You must not go to it with emotions because you will end up not being able to move out of the house.
This is so true.
So as an investor, you should be able to, if you want to sell a house and you see that there's profit in selling this house, you must be in a place where you can do that. But if you are emotionally attached to property, you can keep it when you are supposed to be selling it. So it's very important for you to understand that this is an investment, and then I can use any strategy. I can sell it or rent it out anytime.
You know, Percy, when I hear investments, I'm thinking there has to be a profit at the very least. I know that sometimes the bond is, for some houses, depending on how big they are, can be quite steep, right? And so when you rent out the house, you may not necessarily be able to charge that amount of money. And top of that, there are rates, there are taxes. There's just a lot that goes into charging for a house. So what is best practice or rule of thumb? Is there perhaps a percentage of the bond that you can cap the rent at? Should you be the one responsible for municipal rates and the levies? How do we work around knowing what to charge for rent?
Okay, no, thank you. Yeah, some of the times the problem is not the property itself.
Okay.
Sometimes it's the strategy you are implementing on the house.
Oh.
Yes. For example, things like apartments. When you look at an apartment, most of the apartments are not good for month-to-month rental. You don't put a tenant there for a month. Because if you put a tenant in a apartment, the levies plus the installment and the rates, it's way above what you'll be getting.
This is true.
And I remember with myself, there was a property in 2018 that I wanted to buy, which was an apartment, and it was 800,000. And then including the levies and everything, it was going above 10,000. And then I went to the developer before I could get into the apartment to see, do you have other apartments that you are renting them out and how much is it? And then they told me that, yes, they have. They are renting them 6,000, which means now you have this 4, apartment. 000. If I decide to move out and rent it out, I will have this apartment that I'm paying 10,000, but I'm only getting 6,000, which means I will always have a shortfall on that property, which it will be an investment house that somebody's staying in it, but I still need to use my own money to fund that house. So it's a matter of strategy. Most apartments are good for Airbnb, where you have to buy it in a place where there's a demand, where people want to be there. Yes.
Is it realistic to want to churn a profit from the onset, or do you have to, I guess, play the long game for real in terms of maybe paying the shortfall?
Yes, when we look at standalone properties, standalone, you might start with a shortfall, but later on when you develop the stand and you build more things, you end up making profit. I remember with one of my first project. My first project, I bought the house for 700,000. So I was paying something like 7,000 on the bond, and then the tenant was paying me 5.5. So I had a shortfall. But I believe the moment I buy an investment property, I have to invest in it as soon as possible and build more things on it as soon as possible so that I don't have a shortfall for a long time. Then I went and built 8 bachelors on the same house. And then after I had built the bachelors, the house was making something like 27,000. Which means now I was making profit because I'm paying 7,000 on the bond, and then the other amounts just to run the house. But you end up having more than 15,000 as profit. But in the beginning, I was having a shortfall. So it's a matter of saying, The moment you buy a property, yeah, you have to make sure that you go and build more things as soon as possible. Mm.
But Percy, when did you start seeing a profit? Because it wasn't, it also took money to develop the property forever.
Yes, for me it took around 3 months, because the moment I buy a house, I start to do plans, mm-hmm, and then immediately I am building. So for me it was fortunate because I had the savings to build.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
that's so smart. I never thought about it. In fact, the house in question, you know, somebody's house, the one that I was telling you about earlier, has, yes, got such a nice yard. They could actually develop the house even further to start seeing our profits. But I hope, yes, that somebody is listening to us tonight.
Yes.
Now tell me, Percy, is it smarter to buy a property cash or to leverage a bond and use the bank's money to build your portfolio?
Again, there's no one answer to that. Let me talk. If let's say you are a homeowner, there's a homeowner mindset, which you don't want to be in investments. You just want to own a house.
Yeah.
Then if you are that person, it's good to buy it cash, because you just want to own the house. Yes.
Yeah.
But if you are an investor, then it's not a good idea. Because let me say the house is 100, it's 1 million rand.
Okay.
So if you take 1 million and put it in one house, you have just closed the potential of that 1 million to make money for you. Because you use 1 million and then you can't access it. It's just there sitting.
Yeah.
Yes. Where else you could have used? For me, it takes me 100,000 to do one bachelor, which is having kitchenette and toilets and cupboards and everything. It takes me 100,000.
Yeah.
And I rent out each bachelor 3,500. Which means if I have 1 million, I can do 10 bachelors. And 10 bachelors can make 35,000 for me. So if I put the 1 million in a property just to pay it off, it means I'm not getting anything. But if I put it in an investment, I will make 35,000 and still have enough money to pay that bond of 10,000. Yes.
That is, hey, Percy, well, today, Asham, you're giving us a proper masterclass. You know what I have heard, and I've never understood this, and I trust that you will be able to break it down nicely for us. So a friend of mine was telling me that you don't necessarily close the bond of the house once you're done paying it off. You can you can buy another house. And I'm like, hey, slow down. Slow down. So now that I have you here, I cannot let you go without actually explaining how that thing works.
Oh, no, that's powerful. That's powerful. And it's a good question. What happens there is that if you have a property and then that property is for 20 years, you are supposed to pay it off in 20 years. And then you finish paying it off in 5 years.
Yeah.
It means you still have 15 years of that bond being open. You can still keep it open for the next 15 years.
Yeah.
But most people, they decide to close it and then they get a title deed. But if you are an investor, it's good to keep it open because you can access that money. So there are even people who go and buy a car, for example.
Percy, when you say that money, are you talking about your money that is sitting in a reserve, so to speak, in that account?
Yes, okay. Yes.
Okay.
So remember, if you have a house and you are supposed to pay 10,000, but you are paying 15,000.
Yebo.
Yes, that 5,000 will always be there for you to access it.
Yeah.
Yes. So that money, you can use it. There are people who have paid up their house and you find the access money is 1 million. Which means it's like you have a bank of your own, which is 1 million rand. So if you see something that you want to buy, you don't have to give somebody your payslip to say, approve me for this.
Yeah.
You can be able to go and buy a house for 1 million rand using the money from Access Bond. So it's more like you have your own bank, you have your own finances.
Yeah.
And somebody was telling me one day to say, why do you keep it open? Because you will pay something like 70 rand of service fee. I'm like, if you look at private, let's say credit card, for example, credit card of 100,000, you can pay something like 350 service fee.
For sure.
But here you've got 1 million, which you are only paying 70,000. Mm-hmm. You can access 1 million and you are paying 70,000. So which one is better to have a credit card of 100,000 or an access bond which is saving 1 million?
Yeah. So with that 1 million, you can buy another house. And then the bond also obviously gets reactivated because now you have to pay.
Yes.
But that new property is not paying the bond.
Yes.
Ah, you see, 3 years later is not too late. It's not too late. Now, the one thing I always hear where property is concerned, location, 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 right? But I'm wondering if there are other things. What are some of the most overlooked but very important factors when evaluating whether a property is good investment other than location?
Yeah, there is a lot to look at. One of the things is just services in terms of municipality services.
Oh, okay.
Because there are townships, for example, which they always don't have electricity.
Yes.
Which means if you go and invest in that place, you would always be having complaining tenants and tenants who are moving out in and out every time.
Mm.
So you also have to look at that. And then you also have to look at the fact that is it easily accessible to public transportation.
Okay.
Because you want a place where people can be able to access a transport easily.
Mm.
Yeah, so that's one of the things. And then you can also look at other things like having schools around, having malls around, all those things which they give value even to your property. And then besides that, they are good for your tenants.
Yeah.
Yes, so there is a lot of number of things, but location, I will say it's key because one person can build a house in Val and one builds it here in Joburg and you find in Val you are struggling to get tenants because there's not a lot of economical things happening there.
I know somebody that I spoke to a couple of months ago that was complaining about this very same thing. I think their property is in Mpumalanga. And they're struggling to get a tenant. And I'm like, Mpumalanga is like a tourist destination. I think it was after I had that conversation with you about Airbnb. And I was like, come on, Airbnb. Yes. So it's really important. And it sounds to me like when you think about property investment, you really need to think like a business person. Because what you're talking to me now is about value add over and above the property itself. I don't know how much of online business you know, but you'll find they say the course comes with consultation hours. You also get a workbook. You also get this and that because they understand that people aren't just buying the product itself, but they want a package, complete value add. So as I'm hearing you speak, I'm thinking literally about that the house is sure the main thing, but everything around it matters so much.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
That's why they say if you are an investor, you must listen to a lot of news.
Mm.
And then you must also watch things like Sona and so that you know. Like, for example, in Gauteng, we know that there is a smart city coming next to Lanzeri.
Yeah.
So as an investor, it gives you an idea to say, okay, that area, it's good for me to go and invest there. And then there's also issues where they are saying they're bringing the University of Ekurhuleni.
Mm.
Then you start to look at Ekurhuleni to say, where can I invest? So
yeah.
Those are just those things that you look at as an investor to say, where is the growth going.
That's so potent. Now, what have you found the biggest mistakes or traps have been for new investors that they often fall into just as they get started?
I think a lot of trap, I will say, is just not to do enough research.
Yeah.
Because people just buy a house and think from there I'm going to make money. Then later you realize that it's not that. You need to have a strategy. It's like when you buy a property, you must know what strategy am I going to implement.
Mm.
And you must have valuable reasons. Why are you saying, are you going to do Airbnb in that area?
Mm.
So a lot of people, they venture into property investment without having done enough research.
Mm.
And then again, another mistake, it's the first-time home buyers where
You are just looking for a house without knowing that there's a lot of people in the market who are selling their houses because they have problems with those houses. And then as a first-time home buyer, you didn't do research. Those houses, they end up in your hands.
Ish. Hectic. Now let's talk financing. Are there perhaps any funding models or finance hacks you've seen work particularly well for new investors? Things that are lawful, please.
Yes. Yeah, there is a lot of them. There is even other companies now in property which are funding people to say, even if you just have a stand, we can build for you units. And then we are going to take rental income for this number of years. And then after this number of years, we give you back your property. So there is those kind of funding strategies, even others that are just funding you, but you must be having a business plan and you must be having all these things, which people, they don't want to do the paperwork. So that's why they struggle a lot to get funding. But one of the best funding that I like is using your own salary as a funding strategy to say, I'm going to save. And that's what I used. I used my own saving as the funding, which I used to build a lot of rental units using my own money.
Yeah. The one you mentioned in the beginning sounds like higher purchase, buy now, pay later. You know when they say the first 3 months are free? Is it a good idea?
Yeah, I feel like the challenge with a lot of people is that the moment you buy a house, let's say you buy a 2-bedroom house, you don't have money for building the back rooms or the multi-lets. So because you don't have money, then you end up having a shortfall for a very long time.
Yeah.
And then that shortfall can even push you to a place where you say, I'm selling this property because it's not making money for me. So I feel like it's that issue. It's like a house. I mean, when we are growing up, there are houses that we used to see standing, and then people are building them, but they are not finished. And then it doesn't mean that construction is like that. You have to take 5 years to build. It's because you don't have the funds to do the project. But if you have the funds to do the project, it becomes quicker for you to get the returns, because now you have the funds to do the project. And then within a few months, you can be done with the project, and then the tenants have moved in.
Yeah. Percy, I think I might have heard somewhere that property isn't a get-rich-quick game. And maybe I heard it from you. I don't know. But how do we manage expectations in a world where instant gratification is the norm? Like, people want to see returns now.
Yes. Yeah, no, it is a challenge because, they say we are a microwave generation.
Yeah.
We want things to happen like now.
Yeah.
And then when you look at things that can give you an instant gratification, it's usually not investment. It's like if you want to go into investment, you must know that it's a journey. It's not like you're going to be recognized quickly or you're going to start making money quickly. So it's those ones that you need to know that I'm investing for the future, but I know in the future I'm going to enjoy life in a way that I won't be suffering in terms of finances. So you have to have that mindset to say property is a long-term investment, which is very solid if it's done correctly. And then obviously most of these things that people are running around for, those things, they are still going to be there in the future, and you can get them without even feeling the pressure. Yes.
Sure. Buy or build? I think we have to talk about that one. What are your thoughts on developing property from scratch versus investing in already existing builds?
Okay. Yeah. What a pain is this. If somebody's selling a house, if I decide myself to say I want to sell a house, what comes to my mind is that how much profit am I going to make from selling the property? I can't sell it on the amount that I used to build it.
For sure.
So I need to put a mark up to say I'm going to make 300,000 from this thing.
Mm.
So the moment you are buying an old structure, which is there, you are also paying for that markup,
yeah,
which you usually spend more money than when you are building.
Hmm.
But when you are building, now you have to know that you are going to be hands-on, because now you must be going around comparing prices to say, okay, if I'm going to buy cement, where can I get it in an affordable place?
Yeah.
And then now you must also be hands-on in terms of municipality, because you have to get connections of water, connections of sewer, connections of electricity.
Yeah.
Then you need to be doing all those applications, which means it will take more of your time than when you have just bought a final product. So you have to know that it's going to need more of you, but you will definitely spend less than when you are buying a final product.
Persiazi, I'm talking to you for the second time now, but I've heard your story so many times because I've watched you on other platforms. And I've never, even for one day, heard you talk about losses or making mistakes. It's just this engineer that just knew what to do from the onset and did it. So it's hard to relate to your story because I'm just like, ooh, the mistakes that I have made. Percy, have there been any losses or missteps?
Yeah, there have been a lot of mistakes.
Humanize yourself in this conversation.
There have been a lot of mistakes. But luckily for me, I started well. Because I had the information about finance from an early stage.
Yeah.
So when I started working, I was already knowing that I need to save money. I need to do this.
Yeah.
So I started in a smooth way. But along the way, there was a time where I decided to say, I'm going to pay off a house.
Mm.
And then that house, I had bought it for 522,000.
Mm.
Then I open an account on the side, like a 32-day notice.
Mm-hmm.
And then I said, I'm going to save 15,000 every month for 3 years.
Mm.
After 3 years, I had 520,000, which I took and went and say, I'm here to pay off the house.
Yeah.
And then they say, I'm owing 512,000.
How?
Which means the house had only dropped by 10,000.
How long had you been paying?
I paid it for 3 years. And when I calculated to say how much did I pay, I was paying 5,850 on the bond. If you say 5,850 times 12 times 3 is 210,000. But only 10,000 went into the house and 200,000 went into interest.
Can you believe that?
Yes. Then I went and did my own research after finishing that house to see if I didn't open an account on the side.
Oh, no.
If I had paid the 20,850 as a bond every month. How long was it going to take for me to finish that house? And I realized I was going to finish it in 2 years, 6 months. Which means I lost 6 months. And 6 months is a lot of time and a lot of money.
True.
Because when you calculate it, you say the 5,850 bond that I was paying times six plus the 15,000 that I was saving times six, which is 120,000. So by using the wrong strategy, I lost 120,000.
That deposits into another house, if possible.
Yes. So there's been some number of those mistakes which are there, but when you look at it, it's like it's mistakes that you are doing while you are investing.
Yeah.
So you don't really feel that bad. Yeah.
And you know, it sounds like for people who love school anyway, and I'm one of those people, maybe not school, but learning. It sounds like if you approach investing as an actual journey of learning while you do, it becomes easier versus thinking about it as a destination or the thing, but basically a way of learning how to manage your money and where to put it, you know, like a game of sorts.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. No. I like the way you are saying it. And it's true that it's a journey.
Yeah.
And then you never reach a place where you feel like I have arrived.
Yeah.
It's like you are always climbing. And when you reach certain heights, you set other goals and then you climb further. Yeah.
Percy, I need insider information here. What is a pro tip? Like the thing that is possibly hidden in Robert Kiyosaki's book or all of those people that they won't tell us. You know, all of those people that Donald Trump is trying to give tax breaks to by making the rest of the population suffer. What is the pro tip? The thing you're like, yo, if everybody knew this about property, yo, the things we would do as a black population, what is that thing?
For me, I feel like it's the issue of beating interest. It's one of those things that a lot of people, they don't know.
Mm.
Because if you buy a house today of 500,000,
yeah,
and then you just pay the normal amount,
mm.
at the end you can find or you have paid something like 1.4 million yeah. after 20 years.
Yeah.
Yes, but if you decide to say, no, I'm not gonna, when the bank says you must pay 5,000, it doesn't mean I must pay 5,000.
Mm.
If I just pay an extra 1,000, I can save myself a lot of money.
Mm.
I've done calculations to say if you add 1,000 to a 5,000 rent bond, you are going to finish the house in 12 years, 6 months instead
of
20 years.
Imagine so, that, 1,000 rand.
Yes. Mm. So just to know that even a small amount goes a long way.
Mm.
So it's those things that I feel like a lot of people, they don't have the information
on. Sure. Okay. Now let's personalize it a bit. Where are you focusing your own investment efforts now? Any emerging trends you're excited about or new vehicles of investing that are exciting you more than property is?
At the moment, I've even taken a break from investing in property.
Oh, tell us more.
I decided to say for many years I've been doing things for investment.
Mm.
Let me take some time and just, because you need the balance between investing and enjoying your life. You don't want to be a robot where you are just saving and saving and saving and you never get to enjoy the savings.
Mm.
So I've reached that place where I'm like, let me get my dream house. Let me buy a standing vendor and build a house as well. So those are the things that I'm occupying my time now.
And that car, Percy, that car that you refuse to buy, is it in the pipeline?
Yeah, no, it's there, but not so soon.
Fancy. And how do you feel about traveling? Are you into travel? Yes.
Oh, yes. I've been traveling for the past 2 years. I've been doing a lot of traveling, which I enjoy because for many years I was that person who's like, I don't want to spend money on this. I don't want to spend money on this. But now I'm shocking myself doing the things that I couldn't do before.
Was this always the plan, Percy, or did something happen that actually made you realize, hey, you only live once, Puti? And not in the way that the world says it, you know, where people are just reckless. But is there something that that made you think, actually, no, man, live?
Yes. I think it's along the journey. That's when I realize that, no, I've sacrificed a lot throughout my life.
Yeah.
And then I need to balance as well and also have time for myself to enjoy. I mean, there was a time when I couldn't even go to a restaurant without planning it. Like it needed to be on my plans.
Yeah.
To say I'm going out, it's in a plan.
Yeah.
So at the moment, I'm in that phase where I don't plan it anymore. If somebody calls me and say, let's go to a restaurant, it doesn't even take me out of budget because I've already invested. So I feel like it's just that time where you are also enjoying the sum of the returns.
Yeah, it also sounds like this is a decision that can be influenced by a significant other. But we're not gonna get there. We're not gonna go into that. You know what, Percy? For me, this conversation really reminded me that while property investment does involve land and loans and perhaps listings, it actually requires vision and timing and a great deal of courage because you just don't know how things will go, right? And it also just emphasized to me that we need to think about building something that lasts, whether that's for your family, your financial future or your sense of freedom. And because you now know more than you did before, you actually make better decisions. And you know, and I hope that people know who to come to when they are ready to make their move. And I think, you know, that person I was talking about, I really hope they'll have the courage to come speak to you about some of the decisions they've made. Yeah.
Yes, you are right. And when we talk about, let me say, legacy, for example.
Yeah.
When we talk about legacy, if you want to leave something behind, if you want to leave money behind for the next generation, you don't leave money as money. You leave money as investment.
As assets,
Because if you leave money to somebody who never got a lesson of how to manage money, that money, they can lose it in a very short period of time. So if you want to preserve your wealth and leave it for the next generation, the right place to put it is an investment such as property.
Oh man, Percy, thank you. Thank you for grounding us in the basics. This went so basic, but I think the basics always, I'm pretty sure you know this. When when they taught us maths in first year, they were like, Kwanje, what is it from first principles, right? So this for me was from first principles, right? And you reminded us, man, that even the tallest building began with someone bold enough to lay the first brick. And so thank you for your time again. You're quickly becoming a favorite of the show. So when we call you again, please don't say no. Okay.
No, thank you so much.
Have a lovely evening.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Cheers, Percy.
Bye.
And with that, folks, I am Nompumelelo Mbonane, and I hope you've just made sense of your business. Fresh mercies tomorrow. Ciao for now.
Adventist World Radio SID Media. We are not general practitioners. We are specialists in Bible-based content.